Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other Podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I'm your host, Robert. I don't even know what to say. Okay, my guest is Bob Zupke. Bob, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
What are we supposed to talk about? I don't even understand how... I don't even understand what we're supposed to say. I feel like I need to go listen to like a Wisconsin Badgers podcast from 2011. I'm like, oh, headed to our third Rose Bowl, just to understand like what it means. Like, I don't understand what to do. I'm totally lost this week of trying to find footing. Are you the same way?
Yeah, I feel very much like I don't want to get ahead of myself. But it's I've just never felt more kind of like over my skis at this point.
Yes.
You know, I've got that lingering feeling in the back of my head, but it just doesn't feel that way. And I've convinced myself before that this is different and that it wasn't different. But this time, it feels different.
Yes.
You know, I look back to what I should have done was go back and listen to the first time I was ever on this podcast, which was after Wisconsin 2020.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, you think about how much different we feel today.
Great point. Yes.
You know, I mean, just 2 years, we were on a death march at that point.
Yes. And we were, you know, Tariq Barnes looked pretty good when he came in the second half, you know.
Just
hoping, trying to find something to,
And now I'm trying to talk myself out of being the other way. Yes. I mean, I'm trying as hard as I can to stay grounded and to say, you know, we're still Illinois and we can't be trusted.
Yes.
But I am having a hard time doing it.
Yep. And how crazy that a month ago after the Indiana game, I'm saying my little phrase again, like, you know. We just we had just played an Illinois can't be trusted game. You know, we would have had to do 7 things in the second half to not win that game. We did all 7 things, checked off the entire list, and let Indiana come back and win. And then, you know, and then all of this. So, like, the thing that has me blown away, and this is just because I was writing about it today, you know I'm a big... like believer in Conley's second order wins thing in the whole, like the idea of, look, football can be football and sometimes the ball squirts out here and there and weird stuff happens and you're suddenly -2 in turnovers or, you know, the field goal kicker happens to miss this one or whatever. Field position, special teams, a 99-yard punt return when you're dominating another team and they get 7 points when they didn't deserve them, all that kind of stuff. But since the Penn State game last year, we've been in every game. You know, I don't have last year's numbers in front of me. I remember that the Penn State game was something like 86%. So even though it went to 9 overtimes and all that stuff, statistically we dominated that one. We, you know, went up and down the field. We did all the things that win football games much better than Penn State did. They were lucky to get to overtime, and that's that. But even the Rutgers loss, we were above 50%. That's a game, you know, I think it was something like 61% or whatever. You know, you play that game 100 times, Illinois wins 61 of them, and Rutgers wins 39 or whatever. But then even the road game, you know, road game at Minnesota, we dominated. The road game at Iowa was something like a 29%. So fine, Iowa's going to win that game 71% of the time. Illinois is going to win that game 29% of the time. But that's still not... what we were seeing before, we were getting completely dominated.
Then totally.
Then we do 100% game against Northwestern, and now we've done it basically 4 times. We did it to Wyoming, we did it to Virginia, we did it to Chattanooga, and we did it to Wisconsin. some of those are like 99.8 games, and others are 100%, more or less, based on all the statistics he'd fed in. No team has ever won a game when they were that, or has never lost a game when they were that statistically dominant. As I wrote about today, that's loss-proofing a game. Like, yes, you get to the point where you were so dominant moving that ball up and down the field and stopping the other team from moving up and down the field, so dominant that you even a bunch of fluky things, even the worst possible luck you could possibly have, you're still not going to lose because you've done so many things so well. So for us to be, what, the last five of the last six games to be near 100%, that's insanity because I've been following this stat forever. So we're not just winning. We are winning, and we're not just winning. You know, Illinois has won games with big scores before where, you know, look, we blow out against Minnesota in like 2014 or when was that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when we beat Minnesota, the V'Angelo Bentley fumble return game. You know, we've won games like that before. 2018 is what I was thinking about, the blowout of Minnesota. You know, we've won these games before, but statistically it was like, man, a lot went right for Illinois in that game. This is different. This is a stranglehold. This is taking other teams and like, nope, sorry, zero chance you're going to win this game. Even if we fumble six times and give it to you all six times, we're still going to win because you're not going to be able to move the ball against us, and we're going to be methodical on offense with a tailback that has the most yards in the country. And, you know, again, to steal Bill Conley's phrase, it's the tilt the field and wait kind of football. It's look, we're going to make this to where it's really hard for you. You're going to have to be moving the ball uphill. You're going to make mistakes. We're going to break a long run. You're screwed at this point. Try moving on Ryan Walters defense. And, you know, we're just going to wait for you to make these mistakes. We'll capitalize them, and we're going to win easily. I don't know, as an Illinois football fan, what to do about all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I look back to even, like, 2019, and I think after Michigan State and Wisconsin, after those wins, I said I felt like we smoke and mirrors our way to 6-6.
Yep.
And my only point by that was that it didn't feel like those are the kinds of wins that carry over or are sustainable. And this is the exact opposite of that. Yeah. I mean, this is the one where, like, I mean, I look at the Wisconsin game. I rewatched the game. The fourth quarter, we hardly even threw a pass.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't even, I mean, the game ended 34-10. It could have been worse. Yes. I think significantly worse.
Yes.
Had we wanted it to.
Yes.
I mean, it was unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, strangulation is the word.
Yes.
For that, you know, from start to finish.
And the series where, let's see, they had to go for it on fourth down or whatever.
Yeah.
They were still on their side of the field. They didn't get it. I don't remember how much time was left. The first play of the next series was a run to Chase Brown. I think it was Chase. Might have been Reggie at that point. Anyway, I turned to the guy next to me in the press box. I'm like, Wisconsin's quit? Like, they went about half effort on that. I'm like, okay, just get this game over with. Shut up. Stop. Stop totally. With your running. Stop with your everything. Just end the game, please. Like, the body language on Wisconsin, I'm like, what is happening? This is Wisconsin at home. And their body language is like, okay, just get this clock going. Just get this game over with. How many times have we seen Illinois with that body language?
Oh, completely.
So to see it in Wisconsin, it's just hard to take in. I can't contextualize it.
I mean, I guess how was it in person? Because you could sense it on the sidelines, just on the TV even, you know, and then the body language of the players, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'm in the press box, and I'm behind the glass, so I can't they have the windows open in the press box up at the top, the, like, ventilation windows, so you could hear some of the crowd. You couldn't hear all of the groans and boos that you normally would. But let me tell you, two seats over from me in the press box was a Wisconsin radio guy who left, like, late third quarter, like, in a huff, like, started talking to himself under his breath. Like, he was getting mad at the officials all the third quarter. That one flag that was thrown in from like 40 yards away, or the deep center guy in saw a hold in the backfield and, you know, cocked back and threw like he was Dave Winfield in the outfield trying to throw somebody out at home. Like he's just sitting there under his breath, like, you can't call that from there. You know. And then the angst boiled over to, no, wait, Brett Bielema is just dominating you. And he couldn't take it and he left. You know, and I think that was, you know, that was the general sense around town. I mean, I'm in the elevator and guys are like, man, I wish we had Bielema back and all this stuff. Everybody sees my Illinois shirt. Like, you know, they were full on Crist hate at the time. They felt a little better. You know, that was Sunday morning. It felt a little better about 6 hours later. But yeah, there was angst. There was just this, you know, I think the Ben Brust thing was, you know, part of how everybody was feeling in Wisconsin of like what's happening and why aren't we Wisconsin? And then to lose to a crap ass school like Illinois was even worse. So yeah, there's angst and disbelief, and part of that disbelief is, wait, Illinois is doing this to us? So I find that glorious.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So let me ask you like where you're at with the rest of this season. In that, I mean, the obvious thing we need to discuss is, you know, it's the old, you know, Kansas has started 5-0. They probably won't be favored in any other games because they've played probably the two worst teams maybe in the Big 12.
Iowa State and West Virginia
might be lower end of the Big. I don't know who else.
Yeah, I thought Iowa State would be a little. I mean, I think they've underperformed. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I guess I just always assume they're going to be like 7 or 8 wins.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think they're 3-2 at this point. Yep. So maybe they will be, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the question is that whole, like, okay, where does the gravy begin? Like, where does the season reach? You know, obviously, you know, if Kansas starts 10-0 and then loses their last two games, there will be some Kansas fans of like, oh God, what an opportunity. We just blew it. And then there will be other Kansas fans of like, Vegas had our over under at 2. We just won 10 games. There is no possible. These are the least I've ever been upset after losing, you know, like everybody have some perspective here. So given where we're at and the opportunity in front of us, you know, I kind of feel like we need to talk about like where obviously it cranks up each time you win. But there has to be a moment here of like, okay, you know what? The rest is gravy. Let's do this. Let's have some fun, you know, all that kind of stuff. So how do you see the season at this point?
Yeah. So I still have that like lingering feeling in the back of my head. Like somebody, you know, we're favored this weekend. We'll play Minnesota. That if we win against Iowa, that Minnesota game is likely a pick 'em or something close to that, you know, with us at home.
Yep.
We're favored at Nebraska, favored against Michigan at home, favored against Purdue at home, like favored at Northwestern and probably heavy underdogs at Michigan.
Yes.
And so
I know you're on your way to the point, but can we just pause and talk about how ridiculous everything you just said is? Can we just acknowledge it and then you can continue with your point?
And I still don't believe it, but
I
feel like those are going to be close lines. Like they're not going to be, you know, aside from maybe at Northwestern and, you know.
Right, Purdue will be. Might be 3-point Illinois favorite depending on where things are.
Exactly.
Close to a 50-50 kind of a game.
And to me, I'm trying to not be hyperbolic about this. To me, I think this weekend is the biggest game in terms of even trajectory of the rest of the year for me.
Yeah.
Because I just think you build them, that brings out the crowd from Minnesota, you increase your chances there. Like I'm trying to not be over dramatic and like settle into my, because I've done this before.
Yep.
But I truly feel like this game this weekend dictates the rest of the season.
Yes.
And I think if you win this game this weekend, you are legitimately favored or a pick 'em in maybe every game except for at Michigan. And so yeah, I mean you have a puncher's chance. I mean I'm not even gonna say that. I'll say 9-3. I'm not gonna go say, yeah, I will not say the double digit number, but there's an outside chance of that. I don't think it's realistic. 9-3, I think is realistic. And that's even like a that's a crazy thing to even say, but I think 9-3 is could be realistic if you win this weekend.
Yeah, I said, in the thing I wrote today, I looked at Brian Fremo's what's the percentage chance? 1% chance Illinois wins only four games, loses the rest, basically. 4% chance Illinois finishes with five wins, and then it cranks up. So, right there, it's 95% chance at a bowl game. What? If you would have told me after the Wisconsin game, after the Indiana game, tell me, you know what, in all the stats, Illinois would be so dominant in these next four games or next three games that Illinois will be, going into the Iowa game, will have 95% chance of having a 6-6 season or better. So my sights are still set on 7-5. Like, I just want to kill the whole, it's been since 2011 since Illinois has had a winning season, 7-5. You then go to the Duke's Mayo Bowl or whatever bowl you go to. You go to the
Totally.
Pinstripe Bowl. Even if you lose, you're 7-6 and you kill that stupid, it's been since 2011. That's what I want off of our backs. What am I hoping for? You're right. 9-3 sounds amazing. I want to be in Tampa or somewhere else in Florida. Let's see, where's the Citrus Bowl at? That's played in God, every other Big Ten fan's like, you don't know where the bowls are played at? Well, no, we haven't been to there since 1990. So
Yeah, dude. What the hell? I tell you where like the heart of Dallas Bowl
that's
is,
right.
honestly.
That's right.
I got that one down.
Yes.
Yeah.
But is I honestly don't know. Is it in Orlando?
I
Is
think
it
Citrus
Jacksonville?
Bowl's or I think it's Orlando.
Okay. That's so great. Where do you guys play those bowl games again? There's some in Florida, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not all in Detroit or Shreveport, Louisiana, or
but yes, I mean that would be a dream. I mean, I already kind of hate that it's one of those New Year's Day is on a Sunday years, so all those bowls will be on Monday. Because I do love the, morning of New Year's Day kind of, it opens with the Outback Bowl and the Citrus Bowl, and everybody's watching Big Ten versus SEC. And I've always wanted to be a part of it. It'll happen on Monday the 2nd this year, but yeah, I want to be there. But yeah, I would. So 7-5 is still where I have my sights set. I feel like they're going to go 8-4, and I would really love to see 9-3. But I'm still like drawing my line at 7-5. As to, look, things can happen, and there's
That's the Illinois fan. I mean, it's the Illinois fan in you speaking. Yeah. Until we prove otherwise. I still don't think we've proven otherwise. Until we prove otherwise, I think 7-5 is a good goal. And that's about it, but that's what I keep going back to. That's why I think this weekend is changes my entire sort of expectation for the rest of the year.
I had said, I had, it was kind of a dream three game stretch here would be 2-1 against Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. And I'm not really changing that based on already having won the road game in that three game set. So I'm still at just go 1-1 these next 2 weeks. Obviously, I'm greedy. I want my team to win every game, but I'm still at to go 2-1 in this three game stretch into the bye week would be fantastic. So we've got to get this one, or we've got to get Minnesota.
Yeah, I yeah, but do you, I feel like we beat Minnesota if we beat Iowa.
I do too. I do too.
Like, and
I feel better about beating Minnesota than I do Iowa. I don't know
no,
why.
I do
Maybe
too.
it's
I
because
do
of our
too.
do you know, we've beaten them a
Last.
fair bit. We beat them even in 18. We beat them in 14 when they were ranked. they were 25 and they came in, and we were like 3-5 on the season or whatever, and we beat them. So because we have success at home, because we haven't beaten Iowa since Matt Eller kicked that field goal in 2008, I do have probably more confidence over Minnesota, even though Minnesota's significantly better team.
Agreed. I completely agree.
But yeah, okay, so let's talk about it though. Say we beat Iowa and beat Minnesota, and it's a bye week. We're probably ranked.
I think we're 100% ranked.
And then we're in that bye week thinking, what are we thinking at that point? You know?
Oh, God.
So if we're 6-1, if we're 6-1 going into the bye week and ranked, then what are we supposed to set our sights on? I mean, obviously Indy, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because
then
you
it's
go...
probably beat Purdue to get to Indy. Depending on how the rest, you're hoping for chaos in the Big Ten West where everybody's beating everybody.
Yeah, yeah. You want Wisconsin to wake up.
Yeah. I mean, here's the crazy thing. At that point, we're probably God, I can't believe I'm going to say these words out loud. What we're probably talking about at that point, if we're 6-1 and ranked, is, oh God, we might be, like at that point, we might be in the play, in the college football playoff rankings. We might show up on that. We might have to watch that show this year.
Yes.
At that point, we would be, I mean, we would start talking about, does the Big Ten get three teams in the New Year's Six, and can we be one of the three? That's what we would be talking about. You know, like last year, you know, as of right now, it looks like, okay, Ohio State wins the Big Ten, they go to the playoff. Let's say Michigan finishes second or whatever, and Michigan gets the Rose Bowl, and then say Penn State, let's say they're 10-2 or whatever, even though they were third place in the Big Ten East, they still get one of those New Year's Six Bowls, and they go to the Peach Bowl or whatever, they go to the Fiesta, they get one of those spots. And then the rest trickles down to, okay, the team that lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game in Indy is probably going to get the Citrus Bowl, and then it trickles down from there. So I really do think if we do get to 6-1, just by winning two home games where we have not given up a touchdown yet, if we get to that 6-1, we start talking about, can we be that Fiesta / Peach team in the New Year's Six CFP Bowls somehow. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Go ahead. How will the committee judge the 49-7 loss to Ohio State in Indianapolis is what I start thinking about. Like, which I would have a smile on my face the entire time.
Yes, yes. I mean, let's just honestly think about that. In Indy, is there a happier fan base to lose? What did you say the score was? 47?
49-7.
Okay. 49-7. I'm thrilled. But we're just giddy in the stands, like applauding Ohio State. That was really good. You guys are amazing. We're just happy to be here. We're on the same field as you. This is great. Love you guys. Go crazy. Do it again. I'm having fun.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, that would be incredible.
Yes.
But I go back and these next 2 weeks, I feel like dictate that.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm trying to not be, again, I'm trying to not overbuild it up. I did it for North Carolina in my head. I did it. I've done it so many times over the last few years where, you know, this is a pivotal point. They come out, lay an egg. But just to have even these types of discussions,
yes,
I would have never considered it. I mean, what Vegas had us at 4.5 this year.
Yes, 4.5.
Yep. Yeah, it's insane.
Yep, and we could be there by October 8th.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess what has been the biggest surprise for you as you look at, you know, is it DeVito? Is it?
Oh no, to me it's
Barry Lunny.
It's the defense.
Yeah,
I mean, I list these players all the time, but it's the defense without Carney, Gay, Perry, without Hanson, Tolson, without Tony Adams, without Kirby Joseph. You lose seven of your main 12, 13 guys on defense. You know, I say 12, 13 because Hanson got injured and Tolson came in. So, you know, yep. they kind of replaced each other kind of thing. But still, you lose that many contributors from your defense. You know, maybe, yeah, seven of your top 12 defenders. And you might have a top five defense in college football.
No.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how you can get that much better. You know, the crazy yeah. thing about all of this is just thinking of who's going to be in the NFL. Like, okay, so Tony Adams did make the roster at the Jets. Kirby's on the yeah. roster at the, you know, Nate Hobbs is starting and, you know, making a Pro Bowl case with the Raiders. So we can say Spoon makes it and say, I mean, Quan will make it and maybe even Sydney makes it. So just think if we're talking in 5 years and we look back and like, man, remember when Lovey recruited seven NFL, you know, at the and then lost to Wisconsin 47-7?
Yeah, you know, like yeah, isn't that just insane?
Yeah, I mean,
well, I mean, even look at the defense. Look at the defensive line. I yes. mean, how many NFL players are on this current defensive line?
Newton for sure. Randolph for sure.
Newton should be a first team All American. At
yes.
this point, right?
Yes. Yes.
Like I mean, he is.
Yes.
like,
at this point, he needs is. To be discussed as is he Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year right now? He yes. should be discussed like that. Yes.
Yes.
But. I mean, Avery, I don't know what got into him this year.
I have no idea what got into him. I watched that
yeah.
that Wisconsin. I mean, he's out of his mind right now.
Yes. Gabe Akis is going to be an all-Big Ten player. I mean, he's just a true freshman, but it seems almost certain he's going to be. And then who knows, Seth Coleman, he's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
You know, he can yeah. absolutely step into this role kind of thing if he's playing with a line like this. So, yeah, you know, it does, you know, when we talk about this, it does kind of show that A, last year's defense was, you know, a lot of it was Newton and Randolph. I mean, remember what the defense did when Randolph was out. Like, it was night and day difference when he came back. But so it does kind of speak to, you know, we praised Kirby last year and we praised some of the seniors. But so much of the strength was in guys like Spoon, was in guys like Quan, and you know even Newton and Randolph were the strength of that defensive turnaround last year, and now you know what we'll see this year. So
I mean, there was a stretch, one series in the second half of that Wisconsin game where they weren't bringing any more than four, yes. and it was in the second half of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just teeing off on Mertz. Uh-huh. I mean, it was that front four. And yes. I'm just like, I've never seen anything like this uh-huh. against a legitimate offensive line.
Yes.
I mean, this isn't some makeshift, you know, Indiana has got,
yep.
a legitimate Big Ten offensive line. And we're just rushing four. And our four guys are just teeing off on the quarterback. Yeah. And it wasn't a Whitney Merciless beats the left tackle and yep. makes the sack, and the other three aren't really getting penetration. I mean, I went back and watched it, and it is just chaos
yep.
in the front four. And I don't remember the last time we could do that. I mean, we've had good defensive lines, but I don't remember a defensive line that can get to the quarterback as easily.
Yeah,
just bringing four
yeah.
and still stand up against the run.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's unlike anything I've ever seen here,
yes.
At least in the last, you know, 20 years.
And we need to note that, I mean, Ezekiel Holmes is out for the year. I mean, he was a yeah. starter, right? So we're also doing this with a second string true freshman at that spot. You know, I don't know what kind of season Holmes was going to have, but you know, it's worth noting that there have also been injuries here with replacement players. I mean, even like I was having a conversation with a friend, like I mean, look at D'Arcangelo. Like,
yeah,
know, at some point, I'm out there saying, gosh, they rotate these three guys pretty liberally. We have three guys for two spots, and you know, but I think by the end of the year, he might be the guy, right? Like,
yeah.
He might be the starter or the guy getting the most minutes out of those three linebackers. It's just hard to say, you know, if you tell some, I don't know, Florida State fan or some fan of Washington or Oregon or whatever, and they're talking Illinois football and they want the basics, it's hard, you know, it would be hard to explain to people of like, no, look, they lost seven contributors from last year's defense, but they're getting contributions from true freshmen, from a walk-on, from, you know, the two starting cornerbacks were added as the last person in each class. Both were headed to JUCO and had nothing Big Ten anything, nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't have Georgia State offers or Troy offers or Louisiana Monroe offers. They were just headed to JUCO. We still needed numbers, and we found Spoon and we found Taz. And now there are two lockdown corners. I mean, that play Taz made on that corner blitz, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Some of that stuff, his ability to actually, like, rewatching Wisconsin, he was in the backfield constantly.
Yes.
I mean, it reminds me of, like, I always thought DeRay Hicks was, like, a pretty good second cornerback.
Yeah.
Very good against the run. Yeah. Very underrated.
Yeah.
And I get so many DeRay Hicks vibes from Nicholson.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's only a sophomore and was a nothing recruit headed nowhere. That we just added on. I forget. We lost. Was it Joseph Thompson? We had lost someone and had an open scholarship, and we brought in Taz the final weekend and like, hey, you want to play Big Ten football? Sure. You know? and here we are with Taz, you know. Spoon, how often do you learn about a recruit on like August 3rd? Of like, yes, yeah. Illinois has added a cornerback, and he's going to be on the field this afternoon at practice. He's decided to enroll and start. Is this 1942? What are we doing here?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. He's not going to Butler or wherever it was.
Right.
Garden City, one or the other.
Right.
He will be.
Yes, he's going to be in
and
uniform.
Contributing for Illinois.
Yes. And, oh, by the way, he's probably going to leave after his junior year to declare for the draft early. Like, it's just all of these stories are crazy to me, given where we were with Lovie's recruiting and what we were seeing from Lovie's staff. Coaching these players. That has to be the craziest thing. Because, you know, take somebody like Quan. I gave him my little award. I'm like, this guy's good.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's a low three-star. Quan's the guy. And then, you know, even sophomore year, I started to take a little heat of like, oh, man, that kid's getting burned and this and that. And then now there's a coaching staff that has turned the key in Quan and unlocked a monster. And so, you know, and we really got to acknowledge, you know, what kind of stuff is going on with this defensive staff that they are taking these players and turning them into, you know, legitimate NFL prospects.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I remember, yeah, Quan, I liked him a lot. I mean, he jumped off the film.
100%.
Come out of high school. And then, yeah, I mean, I remember it was a rough few years.
Yep. Yeah, and every player is going to have that. You know, they're going to grow and learn.
Right.
And, you know, Jay Layman, Britt Miller as freshman and sophomore were a lot different than Jay Layman and Britt Miller as junior, senior. You know, like everybody grows and you get there and this and that. But this has been some kind of crazy unlock. I mean, Wisconsin 2 rushing yards. How do you even process that? What is going on right now? It's just crazy.
Did the thought at all go through you after the first drive by Wisconsin of like, here we go again?
The only thought I had after that first drive, so I had had a conversation with somebody before the game of like, when will you know during this game that, you know, either we're a mirage or we're really good? Like, when are you going to know? And I just made the comment of like, look, I've been to too many Illinois football games where we like drive the opening, like Iowa last year, drive right down the field, punch it in, score a touchdown. Hey, this is going to be a different kind of game. We get to the end zone again for, I don't know, until late, like third, fourth quarter or something like that. You know, so because I had said there's been too many games of where I've seen, you know, first drive, punch it in. Oh, this is going to be, you know, I know what this game's going to be. And then it's completely, it was just one drive. Because yep. I had said that after this drive, I had said like, oh, okay. You know, maybe that's just Wisconsin. I mean, they, you know, our kicker's injured. Our backup kicker only kicks it to the 20 or whatever. They return it to the 45. We get a penalty or whatever happened. And, you know, that Mertz looks good. I think my tweet after that drive was like, this kid loves, like, oh, thank God Illinois is here and I can complete passes again.
yep.
But because of that, I was just like hesitant of like, still a long game, this and that. I didn't think we would, that was the only touchdown that we were going to get. But I didn't have that reaction, which is strange because I'm an Illinois fan, you know? So like maybe, maybe this whole thing is starting to grow on me of like, hey, this is what it is supposed to look like for years. This is what you were supposed to be seeing.
Yeah.
I've been looking too hard to try to find it, and now it's just right there in front of me, I guess. Like, did you have that? Did you have that reaction? Were
a
you
little
like, uh-oh, here we go? Like,
a little
now
bit. I mean,
we must have played four awful opponents, and now we got a good opponent, and look out.
A little bit. I mean, they marched out. There were, you know, the kickoff and, yeah, the penalty and all of that kind of stuff. But then even on that next drive where, like, it was, like, third down, and there was a holding. There was a missed hold on the third down, but Mertz hit the guy kind of down the sideline. And I'm just like, oh, God, like, here we go.
Yep.
And that was it. I mean, that was the extent of their offense for the remainder of the game. Mm-hmm. And even that, I still contend that there was a hold on that call that led to the field goal for them. They shouldn't have even gotten that field goal. It should have been – I mean, that was it. And it wasn't even it like, oh, we held them out. We got lucky with some, you know, X, Y, or Z. It was like they didn't even move the ball.
And that's the crazy thing of, you know, again, I did the Ohio State stats, and they had 192 yards the week before rushing against Ohio State. You know, their defense fell apart, and Ohio State was running it up and this and that, so maybe they were a little relaxed. But to go from 192 yards on Ohio State's defense to 2 rushing yards on Illinois' defense, you can't say, oh, well, they got some receivers injured during the game. You can't say, there's no, like, oh, this happened. Well, they did have, well, no. 2 rushing yards against Illinois' defense, that's a thing. Let's talk. I need to stop saying, like, I don't understand what I'm saying. Like, I need to stop with my disbelief and focus on what's ahead of us. Here's my concern for the Iowa game. Special teams.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm worried about what did Robertson average punting, like 37 yards this weekend or 32 yards on 4 punts or whatever. Like, my concern right now is if this is a typical Iowa punt-a-thon where, you know, we're playing 19-19 football and like punt it and try and pin them deep and go for the safety. I'm worried about being in that game with Iowa having a good punter and us not, or Iowa having, you know, decent field goal kicking and us not. That's my biggest concern going into this one. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be like who plays Iowa football better, basically.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, special teams is obviously a big concern. I mean, I punting is a concern, but also field goal kicking for me is a concern. I guess one thing that I like is still kind of in the back of my head is like, have we seen our offensive playbook yet? Like, to the extent that we'll see it.
Yeah, good question.
Because I still think there hasn't been a situation really yet this year, maybe with the exception of Indiana, where like we've had to go, totally aggressive. Like, have we seen everything DeVito can do with his arm?
Yeah.
Like, have we seen every set and every look that Hauser has? Yeah. Have we seen, I don't know. Or I said Hauser, Lenny. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like.
Oh, wait. Did you just bury? Well, hold on.
I just said Barry Hauser.
That's amazing. I was like, where is he going? My first thought was Joey Hauser. And then I was like, oh, No, his brain connect. I mean, I do those things all the time.
Banned.
Yes.
I went banned.
You went banned. Yeah. Like, what do you think?
Have we seen everything that the band guy has?
Yes, exactly. What does Barry Houser have up his sleeve?
Have we seen every John Williams composition?
Right. I mean, have we yet seen him go from Birdland directly into Runaway Baby? That's what the fans want to know.
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I just had to acknowledge that because I finally put it together that you mixed your berries. So go back to that. Okay, so Lunny.
All right, Lunny. I still don't think we've seen everything that Lunny has. And I feel like this is going to be the game where he's going to get pushed a little bit because you got a good Iowa defense.
Yep.
You've got an Iowa defense that's going to come in and probably focus on Chase Brown.
Yep.
And rightly so. And I still think I think Lunny has tricks up his sleeve. Maybe I'm being naive, but I think I am so much more impressed by Barry Lunny and, you know, his five games.
Yep.
And I feel so much more confident and see so much more creativity with Lunny than I did really at any point during last year.
Yep.
Maybe until Northwestern, but it just feels different with DeVito, and maybe that's even in my own head and I've constructed this thing, but even some of those plays he made on at Wisconsin, there was the third down to Isaiah Williams on the first touchdown drive.
Yep.
It's like third and 11 and they connect it. I mean, it's just like, those are plays that we historically don't make, or Peters rolls out and fires 1 8 feet over, you know, somebody's head or whatever. And it's just all right.
Or
here
that
we go.
Fourth down
to
Williams.
Isaiah.
Yeah.
And that was a play where I'm like, he drew that up. I mean, it looked like a New England Patriots play.
Yes.
Like that looked like the, you know exactly what we're doing. We're going to Edelman, or we're going to, you know, whoever it is, and he's quicker than your cornerback is, and he's going to be outside, and we only need 4 yards, and he's going to get 4 yards because you can't stay in front of him, and that's what we're going to do, and that was that.
Yep.
I mean, there were even some plays like that where it's like, even with Hightower, who I thought had a great first half.
Yes.
But
yes.
Hightower, even in that first, like, there were a few screens that they ran where it's just, like, simple plays that they execute well with – switching up looks, and it gets you what you need. And that's all that I feel like we've seen so far.
Yeah.
From Barry Lunny.
Yep.
But I'm like, I think there might be more there.
Yep.
And so I actually am not as concerned about that. Like, it just feels like the team that gets to 21 is going to win.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get to 21.
Yeah. That's a great, great point. You're right, because I'm sitting here thinking that Chattanooga third down to Miles Scott is about the only Lunny's going to put some wrinkles in here that are going to be really different kind. That's about the only play where he went to the well on something like that. That comes to mind where really kind of doing some funky stuff and trying this and some of the stuff they did at, you know, what was expected of him coming in, having run that, you know, Texas San Antonio offense and all that stuff. There's this whole like last year with the defense, right? Like there were five games. We saw little signs of this. I mean, Virginia was horrific. Maryland was pretty good. Purdue was pretty good. We weren't sure yet. And then, you know, Wisconsin rolled us and put up 500 yards, and we go into the bye week. And then end of the season, those last 5 weeks, the defense was just like, okay, they figured it out. And that defense was solid the rest of the year. It kind of feels like, okay, well, what if that's the second half for this offense? You know, what if they really get into their groove? What if DeVito continues to improve? What if Barry opens up the playbook and figures out – what if Houser opens up that playbook and, you know, figures out what they're going to do? You know, that's the wild card here that could get us to Indy of, you know, half a year the offense is okay and they're doing better and the stats aren't huge, but they're improved from last year. And then in the second half, the offense really puts it together and the defense doesn't have to carry every game.
Yeah. Well, in part, and maybe again, like I think part of it is they haven't had to really so far,
Yes.
right? Like I think Brett Bielema says, "All right, we're up, 21. Let's just, take care of the ball, bleed clock, and ensure that like our defense starts a good field position." And that is like the message.
Yes.
And I think against Iowa, it might be different, and you might have to mix it up, and you might have to get a little bit more exotic. And I think he's up to the task. And that, like, yeah, I am confident going into this weekend. Probably overconfident, but I am confident going into this weekend. And it's for that. It's because I think there's more to this offense than what we've seen. I don't think Iowa's capable of getting to 21.
Yeah, I mean, what, like, let's dream a little bit. Like, what if this is 1994 Missouri, where they get like 48 total yards and they'll get a first down to,
I mean, what is that? Like, think what would we be saying right now if we had Iowa's offense and we had Brian Ferentz as our offensive coordinator and we were going to face this Illinois defense?
yes.
Just statistically, take away the, oh, it's Illinois and blah, 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 and they're going to come back down to earth and they'll wake up and realize that, all of that kind of stuff that Iowa fans are saying right now.
Yes.
And just think about if you walked in and said you have to face, a top 10 defense in the country, and your quarterback is who he is, your offensive coordinator is who he is, and your head coach is, or basically their head coach used to work for your head coach and knows exactly what he's going to try to do. He knows exactly how he wants to call a game. He knows all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, basically, good luck. Like I would be like, we're not going to score 17 points.
I mean, it makes me think of, like, the offense in, so I was traveling somewhere, so I'm thinking of the Michigan game in 2016 when Jeff George Jr. was starting. It's a game where we only scored one touchdown. It was that Malik Turner, like, caught it and spun, did like a figure skater pirouette in the air and got away from the tailback and then ran untouched to the end zone. That was our only score. I just remember talking to somebody about that game who was worried about Michigan, even though they were good, and be like, if Illinois has any kind of offense, they might be able to. I'm like, no, trust me. Like, I've seen this offense so far this year. It doesn't have anything. It's down to the third string QB. No. If you're thinking this Illinois offense is going to maybe scare Michigan in the big house a little bit, no, they're just not. Trust me. I know how many freshmen are out there. I know that the offensive line is now four true freshmen. No offensive line in college football with four true freshmen is going to do anything. We're not going to run the ball. We don't have the quarterback to throw to keep us in it. It's not going to happen, So you're right. That's kind of how Iowa fans, knowing how, little Kirky is calling games and what they have at quarterback, they just kind of know that it's going to take a whole bunch of turnovers or something crazy where they would have 8-yard drives if they're going to put up points.
I mean, I just don't see another way around it. Like, that's what it comes down to. Can we score?
Yes.
And
Because statistically, their defense probably as good as ours, if not a little better. It hasn't mattered, but they're probably on that. When they play Wisconsin, it should be, they'll likely hold them to 10. Will they also put up 34? Probably not. But solid defense. Tommy's gonna have to take care of the ball, and they're gonna have to take care of, or when they get the opportunities, they're gonna have to capitalize. That's this game.
Yeah, I feel like though, I'm being overly positive. I don't know what's
Do
going
it.
on, but
No, it's fine.
I just feel I feel very confident that we're going to score. We will get to 21.
Yeah, and they
That's I'm
won't.
putting my stake in the ground, and they won't.
I mean, it's kind of, how many times have I charted, like, okay, well, you know, these rebuilds for programs like Illinois, it's that fourth year and this and that. And in a sense, what Bielma has been doing so far is just this very simple, like, no, it, yeah, it's going to be rough the first half of the first year, but then you figure out what you're doing and you find your guys and, you know, you add pieces and you start to take off. And, you know, he would tell you he fully expected to go from 5-7 to 8-4 and then on up from there as long as he's coaching, you know. Like, the, yeah, maybe this whole time of me looking for how long rebuilds take and whether they're going to blossom in year three or year four, maybe the whole thing the whole time was like, no, by the second year, the coach is getting better, and that's that. You know, Nick Saban at Alabama went 6-6 his first year, and he lost to Louisiana Monroe at home, and then he's won 11 or 12 or 13 every year since. You know, like, that's not going to happen at Illinois, but it's the same concept of first year, sure, going to struggle, especially first half of the year. Then you figure it out, and you become your program the second year, and then you just keep that running for as long as you need to. So, you know, maybe that's what we're seeing.
Can we also talk about just even some of the, like, fourth down calls?
Absolutely.
Against Wisconsin? Like, how refreshing was that? How refreshing was it to see, even on the, like, DeVito sneak on third, what was it, where they kind of faked the screen up to the kind of the high side of the field, and then there was a QB sneak.
The one where he almost got it, but
he basically got it.
Yes, he basically got it, and they marked it a full yard short or whatever. That one
marked it a full yard short, but there wasn't even any doubt they were going. It was like the play was called on third and five.
Yes,
with the knowledge that you were going for it on fourth and one, assuming it's fourth and one.
Yes.
Like that has just been was absent last year. I felt like it was absent the previous regime. Like I feel like the amount of trust that Bielema has in Lonnie is so much different. Like those, even like the, I mean, they were going for it on like fourth and three in some of those instances.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
to me, I'm just like, if we have, and maybe the playbook is more conducive to like that type of yardage and there's better looks that they like. And Griffin obviously has been a little inconsistent. He was hurt and all of this kind of stuff. Maybe that's just all playing into it.
Yep.
But like, if we're going to start being more aggressive, if we have a quarterback who can move a bit on his own, we've got a good tailback and we've got someone like Isaiah who you can just get the ball to if you need 3 yards. If that's all you need, you can get it.
Yep.
Like I feel like that is so much different than we're going to see on the other sideline next week.
Yes.
And it's just so refreshing to see from a Brad Bielema team.
Yes. God, great point. Great point. I mean, it's so, yeah, it's so crazy given what September was last year, right? You know, the Maryland fourth down decision followed by the Purdue fourth down decision, and we're losing these close games and angst and anger, and then even the thing blows up during the bye week of Penn State with the quote and everything else.
And the Rutgers fourth down, I mean, like,
yes, the pitch,
like,
to
the
Chase,
Rutgers pitch,
yes,
backwards,
yes,
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 like it just feels night and day. And honestly, I think part of it is Bielema historically has been more conservative. I'm sure that he would prefer to be more conservative. Maybe he doesn't trust the punter, maybe he doesn't trust Griffin, you know, like Robertson, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But I still think it's just different with Lonnie,
yeah,
and I think it's different with DeVito,
yeah. And his trust in Barry Houser is basically unmatched.
just
sorry,
off the charts.
Yes, yes. Although Barry did get a warning this year. Let's note this. That was the Virginia game, right? The band
did
must
he get
not
a
play.
I didn't see that.
Yes.
Oh,
he got
see that.
Warned during. They were doing the chords. Like, Virginia was backed up to like the two, so they're right in front of the band. And so they're doing the, you know, the little scale they do of like, you know, get louder with the next note, get louder with the next note. But they didn't cut it off by the time Brennan Armstrong was like calling out his snap count and this and that. So the ref, the white hat, whistled it dead, got on the mic and said, "This is a warning to the band to stop playing once the play is in motion, blah, blah, blah." So
There we go.
See,
He
so
showed up
we
to
do
the
need to talk Barry Houser. Yes.
He's in the scorecard.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to continue to make
How do
bad
we get
jokes.
How do we get him on the next one of these?
That's a good point. That's a good point. We'll do it. We'll do it.
All right.
Yes.
All
right. But you're so right. Like there is so much trust in the coaching staff. You know, you can see it when you're talking to them. You can see it when you're watching the coaches hang out with each other. You know, this is a very tight-knit staff that trusts each other. And I think we maybe even need to acknowledge all the analysts and GAs and things like this. Like, this is a staff that really studies things and talks about things and gets together and meets to talk. And, you know, you're going to have that special teams analyst speak up in that meeting. And his only job that week is to say, look, and we need to be concerned about Iowa blocking punts from this direction and that kind of thing. Like, you know, he has guys studying everything. And then I know that they take this stuff and they go study it and they go, you know, play it out. And they say, okay, this call, what are you calling? Okay, 3rd and 7 at the Iowa 9, what are you doing? You know, like there's all these kind of things that they run scenario after scenario after scenario so that they're ready when the moment arrives.
The special teams analyst is standing up in the meeting and saying the wind will be blowing at 26 miles an hour.
Yes.
And his name is Robert Rosenthal.
That's exactly right. And they're like, Robert, what do we do? And I'm like, don't put the punter at the 25. Put him at the 15 because the ball is going to drift, Ron. And then they'll be like, hey, Ron Zook left in 2011. You don't have to yell about him anymore. And then I just kind of flinch and pass out.
There you go.
But yes, I mean, they do all of this stuff where they run scenario after scenario. And their practices, you know, Bielma will talk about it all the time. Like, we ran third downs today. We ran second downs. We ran coming out of the red zone drills and this and that. Everything is situational, situational, situational. So that they're ready and the players are ready when they get there. That's the biggest – people ask me all the time, what's the biggest change you've seen in Bielma practices versus Zook, Lovey, Beckman, whatever. And that's the biggest thing is they're so tied in on situational football. What do we do here? What do we do here? How do we practice that? What do we do here? All that kind of stuff. It's impressive. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we need to – I think we need to go on the record here as to what bowl game we think we're going to be in. Because once we've reached now 95% nerd stat chance of getting to a bowl, it feels like we're probably going to win at least two more games with this defense. So where do you think we'll be? I'll just go through it real quick because I was looking it up today. So it's either 2 or 3 New Year's Six bowls for the Big Ten. They usually get 3. There's usually a third team there that's, you know, available to go to the Sugar or go to the Fiesta, whatever. And then 4 is Citrus. 5 is what used to be Outback and is now ReliaQuest Bowl. The 6th spot is, just look this up today, Duke's Mayo Bowl, where the coach can get dunked in mayo after the game.
Could you imagine Bielema dunked in mayo? That's just a beautiful. Oh my god!
No, I already have your answer. I know
that's borderline erotic.
Yes, yeah, perfect. 7 is Music City, and then it goes Pinstripe next, I think, and then that Vegas Bowl, which was new last year. I think Wisconsin went there, and then it gets down to, like, you know, your Detroits and your, you know, whatever. So do you have your sights set on anything? Like, where do you think we can end up in that order?
Where can we? I think 9-3 is our, like, pipe dream season.
Okay.
And I think that puts us into one of those New Year's Six bowls.
Yeah. That's, yeah. 9-3 is right on the edge. 10-2 is certain. 9-3. Well, I guess it would depend. 9-3 would probably be is it then 9-4 because you lost to Ohio State?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
You know, but if you are that, let's see. Yeah, if you are that team, they still will defer to that team that won that division. They, you know, they might favor them over, like, the third place team from the Big Ten East if it's Penn State or whatever. They might point toward, well, this team got to Indy, let's send them here or whatever. But you see 9-3, and is that 9-3 going to Indy? So that would be six.
That's the pipe dream.
6-3 in the Big Ten.
I mean, we were 9-3 and went to the Rose Bowl in 2007.
Yes, good point. Good point. Yes.
So yes. I think with an early, you know, the early loss to Mizzou, maybe that's akin to the early loss to Indiana. I don't know. And then I don't know. That might be a stretch. Mm-hmm.
And then Virginia is Syracuse, and then Well, wait, but that
where's our Ohio State?
Well, that would be Michigan, the second last game. It's very obviously that, but that also means we lose two games in early October, which would be Iowa and Minnesota. Let's not talk about that.
Yep. Never mind.
Yep. No, that's not going to happen.
I say 9-3. That definitely won't happen.
Yep.
9-3 is my pipe dream season.
Yeah.
And it is a but.
Yeah, can you slide into the peach or the you know, that extra
or
bonus New Year's Six Bowl?
Do you show up against Ohio State in Indianapolis and is it 35-17 and it was fairly close early in the third quarter and that's sufficient to get you in?
Good point. Yep. I have longed for those two Florida New Year's Day bowls for so long. I mean, we were in the Outback when it was the Hancock Bowl in 88. Is that when we made that bowl? And Citrus, we haven't been there since 90 against Virginia. So it's been 30 plus years of trying to get back to those new. So that's where my eyes are fully set on that. I won't be mad if we're in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, if we're in Nashville on New Year's Eve, you know, a short-ish drive from Champaign to be, you know, to go to that game and then spend New Year's Eve in Nashville. I think that would get a huge Illini fan contingent to show up for that. I did that 94 Liberty Bowl was on New Year's Eve, and that was a good time. I would like to see 8-4 and then either Outback, which is, I got to say the right name now, the ReliaQuest Bowl, or Citrus Bowl. That would just be an absolute dream. That is pinch me level, like, every child I have is getting a gift at Christmas of tickets to a bowl game they don't even want to go to. If we're 9-3, I'd almost rather go Citrus than something like Fiesta I probably would want that. Like, Fiesta is like recruit to it kind of a thing, right? You know?
Yep.
You do that, you're telling recruits, no, you can play in one of those big bowl games and where everyone's watching and they clear out all the other bowls and it's just you. So that would be good for the program. But for me, just to be in Florida New Year's, January 2nd would be absolute dream.
Yeah. Or it could all, but we're still Illinois.
Yep.
So I say all of this.
Yep.
And we could be laughing. I mean, we could look back and just laugh at ourselves. Yep. And that realistically could happen.
Yes. And
but
yes, injuries could happen and, you know.
Totally.
Some scandal happens where, you know, whatever. And, you know, there's an investigation and Illinois passes on going to a bowl game. I mean, there's 1,000 things that go wrong, which is why I would not shake a stick at being in Detroit on December 26th or whatever it is.
Beautiful
afternoon game in Detroit. I would do it. I would love to be in any bowl game. But yes, I would. My eyes are set on, because of all these numbers and because of the way this is looking. My eyes are fully fixed on. Can we go somewhere warm? That would just be the dream. All right. Go ahead.
Before we close. So I put this on Twitter, but I am interested. Like this weekend, right?
Yep.
Night game.
Yep.
Against a rival, early in the tenure of a coach who you are on an upward trajectory. I mean, there's no doubt we're on an upward trajectory at this point. Recruits in town, under the lights, his former alma mater, in a conference rival. Like, I'm trying to think back on, as you know, a game that could have as much impact on the remainder of the season as this one, with this much at stake. I still go back to 2000. I go back to Ohio State 2011 when we're 6-0. But like, even then, it's just
Even
hard to,
see the thing about that game is Ohio State was 3-3.
They were good, yeah.
I remember, I mean, I still remember what I wrote after that game because the third play from scrimmage, the crowd booed Zook for like some call or something on or that whoever the offensive coordinator was and all that stuff. And
Yeah.
at the time I was like, we're playing, we're ranked 16th or whatever, and we're playing Ohio State and we're booing on the third play.
Yeah.
Like what? I just remember like, wait, this, it doesn't matter to people that we're 16th. This crowd is out on Zook. They're done,
Totally,
and
totally.
it's already over. And that. So yeah, that did not have the feeling that this Saturday is going to have of like, oh,
No.
potential to really explode here. That's why
If you
I
win that,
answered your question as to Wisconsin 2015, which we were 4-2, playing well, had beat Nebraska. The line like opened at 8.5 and dropped all the way to 5, and it was like, oh, you know, can Illinois beat Wisconsin? Are we really back on track? This and that, and you know, we got our answer. But you're right, you're right. If that's probably not equivalent to what it could mean for the program, recruits and everything else. I don't know. I would, if it's that's what we're going, I push past. I put where if you
11,
pushed past Ohio State 11, where would you land?
probably 2007.
Yeah, like the Penn State game or the Wisconsin game,
I would
2007.
almost say Wisconsin. I think Penn State to me was more of a surprise.
Yes,
It was just more of like a, oh shit, like we're actually pretty good type of thing. And then I think Wisconsin was the one where like what should we start talking about at this point?
Because they
And
were
you know,
number
and it kind of
five
built.
at the time. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you could even argue that Michigan game under the lights,
The Kyle Hudson game?
the Kyle Hudson game,
Yeah.
because I mean that was under the lights, national TV. I mean, I remember like, something like it was like Hubie Graham and like some of the other kids that they'd gotten into town for that game, like out of state recruits that they could bring in, which at the time, I mean, that was like building towards the best recruiting class we'd ever had. And you know, obviously, and then we beat all these good teams, and it's Michigan and all this other stuff. And so I mean, you can make an argument for that, but still, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's we're talking about, you know, 15 years ago. So yeah, it's huge.
08 didn't, I mean, 08 started great and we were ranked, but we went to Penn State and lost, and that's when we fell out of the polls. I don't remember any big home games in 08 with that feeling. Like the
Yeah, there was
anticipation going into the 08 season was bigger than anything I could remember in a long time. It was bigger than 2002. Like there,
Yeah.
you know, because that recruiting class was so solid, and because you had the 07 class becoming sophomores and Ben and Tez and everybody else, there was great season anticipation. But I don't remember a game in 08 that had that kind of, I mean, the Iowa game, kind of, but we were like what, 4-4 at the time or whatever. No, yeah, we were 4-4. We moved to 5-4, and then we lost our last three, including Western Michigan in Detroit, in front of 9,000 people. Yeah, you're right. That is, you're, yeah. I mean, I'm starting to think like 2000 Michigan. You know, the A-train
Anthony
fumble
A-Train
game.
fumble. Yep, that was.
Yeah, I mean, 01 Penn State was huge. That was like an ABC
That was
230
the.
game.
Was that the like Christian Morton interception at the end of the game, like
Yeah, it
to
was the Rocky
seal
Harvey
it?
kind of
Rocky Harvey
hurdle.
jump kind of jumped over the guy. Yeah. I
Like
remember that one.
low
Yeah.
hurdles kind of thing, and
Yep.
score. We had trailed most of the game and then came back at the end.
Yep.
Wisconsin game, the Brandon Lloyd catch game, that was big.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, you're right. It's yeah.
I mean, we're
It's a long
talking
time, man.
right now. and we're having this conversation about, you know, recruits in town, under the lights, like actually establishing credibility for like the like burned fan base. You know, there are Illinois fans out there who want to believe in this football program so badly, and they're just like, I just can't do it.
Yep.
And you'll get a little glimpse, or you'll get a little glimmer of hope, and then they just come out and lay an egg. And that has happened so many times recently, or just over the last decade plus.
Yep.
And you have a chance to sort of rewrite the narrative on Saturday.
Yeah. I'm still mad at Minnesota for losing. Because had they not, they would have, you know, what were they, 21? So they would have gone to like something like 16, and then they'd win this week, and they'd go to something like 12, and we would get ranked after beating Iowa, and we would have had game day in town. But they won't do it now. Yeah, I mean, it's we just got to acknowledge it, right? Like, this is what we've been praying for. Every time we have said, you don't understand how excited I would be at a 6-6 season just to have hope. Like, it's here, right? You know, hope has arrived in Champaign, and you and I just discussed things like, well, 9-3 and 10-2. I mean, it's on the table. You know, we just need to acknowledge how much fun this is.
Totally,
this is for people like you and me who are some reason junkies of this crazy program. Like, this is the stuff of dreams. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yep.
All right, I'm ready to go.
Booking my flight to Orlando. Yeah.
That's right. I'll see you there. We'll do a live show.
Perfect.
In is it Orlando or is it Jacksonville? We gotta figure out where that bowl game is.
Yeah. We'll get to Florida one way or another.
Yes. Yes, it's somewhere in the panhandle. Like, you guys know where the Citrus Bowl is?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is great. This is a lot more fun than talking after Wisconsin in 2020 in COVID season, right when Brandon Peters and 11 others are out for the game or whatever. This is I'll take this a few more times over that.
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for hanging out. And let's have some fun this weekend.
Let's do it. All right. Talk to you soon. See ya.